Vectis Radio. FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
If you're with Vectis Radio, it's a Thursday lunchtime, and we've got special guests in the studio. You're back.
I am, hello.
It's really good to have you back as well. It's Laura Godian. Do you have letters after your name yet?
Oh, I do, but... You know, we don't worry about
how
those
many?
Too much.
Is it MBA?
I've got more letters after my name than I've got in it, in actual fact. So it's a really long desk plate. So I just ignore them. It's much easier that way. I'm just Laura.
All right, just Laura then. You've got a hell of a job. A job title is?
So I'm the Director of Adult Social Care and Housing Needs for the Isle of Wight Council.
Not interim anymore?
Not interim anymore. We've done that. I'm permanent.
How big a job is that at the moment?
Yeah, it's pretty huge. And it feels like it gets huger every single day, but there's definitely a point to it, so I'm cool with that.
Yeah, and I know that every time you come in, you always manage to... I mean, you don't need to convince me. I know the right person's doing the job, so, you know, that's lovely. But obviously, last time you came in, you were giving advice on drink plenty because it was blooming hot.
It was boiling, wasn't it?
Now it's cold.
Now it's freezing.
So now you've got any cold advice? Cold tips?
Wrap up warm is my key advice. Still keep drinking water. That's really important to stay hydrated all year round, non-seasonal. But staying warm is really, really important. I mean, we've got some top tips that... I can help with, I hope. Things like turning off your heating in the rooms you're not using to keep your costs down, making sure you're heating one room really well, your living room or your bedroom, so that you've got a warm place to go in your house. Lots and lots of layers if it gets really cold, much better than one thick piece of clothing to layer up. So just make sure you're keeping an eye on each other as well.
This is something that we probably heard of in the last few years, heating and eating and the choice and so on. But this year is even worse, isn't it? So I'm guessing you've got something in place, advice, phone
Definitely.
Numbers that we can ring. I sat there the other day and I'm thinking, well, I'm not rich. But, you know, I am trying to, you know, save money on the heating and stuff. And then you think, there's people out there that ain't got no choice.
Absolutely.
How do they cope with being blooming cold?
Yeah, and I think that's more likely to impact on more people this year than ever before. Mm. The cost of living crisis that we've seen is impacting on everyone one way or another, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. For the more vulnerable people in our community, that impact is even more significant. As a council, we've got on our website at the moment an area that's specifically dedicated to cost of living. So if you go to the council's website, which is www.iwhite.com, and just type in cost of living into the search bar, it brings you up loads of useful but very local resources. So there's advice there on benefits, there's advice on saving money, on reducing your energy bills, there's information there around where you can access food if you need to access food and your cupboards are bare. Information around your health and well-being is obviously part of it that my team's been really engaged in, and accessing warm spaces. Lots of really good offers from our communities in terms of warm spaces you can go if you can't afford to heat your own home. So places you can go and access a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and just chill out, read a book and stay warm for a bit of time is all on that website. There's also a link to some key local community events on there, places where you can go and get advice and support from people and activities you can undertake as well. So that's all on the council's website at the moment.
So please, if you're out there and you're listening, you know, don't feel proud in that respect. Just, look, these things have been set up to help.
Absolutely.
So accept the help.
Definitely.
And if it means that you're going to be healthier and live longer, then use it, because it's there. It's there for everyone. And just don't... Then you're not the only one. There's so many people out there. So... You know, just accept a bit of help.
And even if it means you're not going to be hungry and you're going to stay warm, it's not necessarily about living a healthier, longer life. It can be a real immediate solution to people and families who are struggling. So please make use of the resources that are there. My other very timely link, if I may, Ian, is to our Living Well and Early Help service. We recommissioned that service earlier this year, and it's now a partnership led by Aspire in Ryde, but with lots of other community organisations all across the island. That Living Well service is gearing up to support people through cold weather and through the cost of living crisis. You don't have to be receiving adult social care support or any support from anywhere else to be able to contact that team. They've recently put on the road a mobile hub, a bus, a van that's going around local communities and providing advice and support in places where you don't have access to those type of community centres. So please keep an eye out for them. And if you need the Living Well service, I've got a phone number here for them.
Oh, good.
I wrote it down because I'm really bad at remembering phone numbers.
You should do radio.
So it's 01983 240732.
240732,
and that's the Living Well Early Help Service. They're there to help all of our local residents. So really good service, able to help you if you need any help.
Fantastic. Don't you find that over the last, especially the last 12 months, there's been a lot of noise, political noise, and it really irritates me that there's all this noise going on, and it kind of detracts away from what you were just talking about, the things that are out there for people and the real heroes, the real people that should be in the news, the ones that are working at Aspire and others alike that are doing all those wonderful things. And if we add a little bit less noise of politicians and the nonsense they get up to and so on, and a bit more emphasis on what is magnificent in our own area and what is there to help, people would know and they wouldn't be so worse off now, would they? So our job now is to point them in the right direction.
Definitely. I don't talk politics ever. I'm not allowed to as part of my job, but I choose not to. but yeah, I think you're right. What we need to do is really focus on our local people and our local communities. And we've seen, certainly through the last 3 years, our community organisations stepping in a way that have helped people remain safe and at home. And they continue to do that through the current cost of living crisis. Our strength as an island, as island people living in island communities, is the resilience we've got amongst ourselves. Those community organisations are so valuable. They deliver so much for us locally. We're really, really lucky to have them, and they are truly our unsung heroes.
And there's a lot of them, and we don't mention them. They don't get any, they're not like Muttley and getting a medal.
Yeah.
They're not in the news. They're not top story because they haven't thrown a party or anything like that. And I know you don't want to do politics and leave that to me. But I just think now and again, we ought to just remember that there are a lot of people out there, and let's point them towards where they can go and get some help. Surely that's more beneficial than other nonsense that is out there. That's what we need to be doing. Pipe down on the noise. Let's get the important stuff out there and be noisy about that so we can help people. We're just going into a cold spell. And, I'm guessing, I don't have the facts and figures in front of me, but January and February are freezing cold normally.
We might have snow in the southeast of England within the next month or so. Well,
let's hope not. But it's those times when people get, they suffer from depression and so on.
Absolutely.
And I would imagine that and this probably leads us on to one of the subjects you want to talk about, leads to problems at home.
It does, yeah. And the other thing that's on my list to talk to you about today is the 16 Days of Action campaign around domestic abuse. We're right in the middle of it at the moment, and those 16 Days of Action is focusing on supporting people to recognise domestic abuse, but when they're in a situation that involves domestic abuse. Not in the traditional sense of things necessarily. We often think of domestic abuse as being physical assaults in the home. Domestic abuse comes in so many different shapes and sizes, so many different ways that actually there's a real lack of understanding as to how people can be being controlled in a home environment and not seen. We know that one in four women and one in six men in England at some point in their life will find themselves in a situation where they're a victim of domestic abuse. That's an astounding number, and we need to make sure we're there to support people. So I wanted to flag the 16 Days of Action today, but I also wanted to give some information around where people can go and get help if they see a situation they believe is linked to domestic abuse or are victims or perpetrators themselves. So we on the island commission an organisation called Paragon. They're brilliant. They've been with us for a number of years now. They've rebranded a couple of times, so it might be a name you're not familiar with.
Right.
But Paragon are our island provider. They've got a project, which is the Dragonfly Project, focusing on supporting the growth of domestic abuse champions within local communities. You might be a hairdresser. You might be a pub landlord. You could be somebody who works in the care sector. There's an opportunity for you to train to become a domestic abuse champion in your local community. At the moment, we've got 115 champions across the Isle of Wight, and so far this year they've actually supported 38 people who otherwise would not have received any support in a domestic abuse situation. So those 115 people are having some real impact, and there's the opportunity for anyone to access that dragonfly training through Paragon.
Right. I mean, this sounds really, really useful, really helpful, and incredible, and so on. We're going into a time of year when it's probably going to be higher than ever. 16 days doesn't sound a whole lot, but I'm guessing you need to do these things so that it highlights it. Otherwise, definitely, it just gets lost with everything else.
Yeah, the 16 Days of Action campaign tends to be a yearly thing, and it includes a complete focus around domestic abuse support for that entire 16 days. The local authority are running a number of social media campaigns, and that information's all available on the council's website as well. Before I forget, Paragon's number, in case anyone needs it, is 0800 234 6266.
What advice would you give to somebody that is now, they've got that number and they know that they got problems? What's and they're thinking, that won't help, or I'm not sure.
Pick up the phone. It really is a service that's tailored to the individual. Your information is confidential. You can have a chat with somebody and explore the options that are available for you. It isn't a tick box exercise, and there's no one size fits all solution. The Paragon team are able to work with our local residents in the best way that suits them to manage their circumstances.
So pick up the phone, do it.
Definitely. Seek help. If nothing else, seek help is always one of the best solutions for people.
Okay. So what was the number again?
It's 0800 234 6266.
Okay. You might think about that. You might be one of those people that are now thinking about it. You might be in an area where you think, I can't make that call now. But write that number down. And when you're, you know, away from whoever you need to be away from, make that call. I'm guessing all the people that you're going to talk to on the other end of the phone, they're not going to give you a hard time. They're not going to, they're going to ask a few questions, obviously find out a few details, but you'll probably feel at ease and so on. And can I just say, while I remember, I know that you, and I can't go into obviously details, but thank you for helping out. I had a friend that needed some assistance, and you put me in contact with the right people, and now that person is getting the help that they need. So thank you. So just to reiterate, it works. Make the call.
Make the call. Ask for the help. It's really important. And you can also use that number if you're interested in the Dragonfly Project. So if you're somebody who wants to give back a bit to their community, who wants to support somebody in a situation where domestic abuse is impacting on their life, you can phone that number as well and talk to somebody about how you can engage with that project.
I'm going to put you on the spot with facts and figures, sorry. how does it look now with people that are going through what we've just been talking about to compared to 5 years ago? And I'm guessing if the numbers are higher, does it have to do with the cost of living, COVID and all the rest of it?
We did see an increase in the number of victims of domestic abuse through the pandemic, and I think that's largely linked to lots of people being contained within an environment that previously they were able to get away from. I love my husband dearly, but I know that too much time in his company drives me mad. I'm really lucky to have horses and donkeys that I get to go and spend time with instead. That is making light of a really serious situation. But ultimately, we have seen an increase in domestic abuse in a variety of different forms in our local communities over the last 3 to 4 years. And that's likely to increase. And we do know that big sporting events like the World Cup can impact on domestic abuse statistics as well. More people are out having a drink and enjoying themselves. That can lead to shorter tempers, and it can lead to reactions that ordinarily wouldn't be there. I think domestic abuse is something that as a community we will always live with. It's about making sure we've got the right support in place and the right interventions in place to help people through their specific circumstances and to keep them safe.
Do you know, it's really hard to, because I've never really lived in those kind of, you know, times and had those difficult issues and so on. So it's really difficult to understand, but you know it's out there.
Absolutely. And different people react in different ways. Our job isn't to judge people when they're in those circumstances. When that situation evolves, our job is to support them, to make the best decisions for them. People may choose to remain in abusive relationships. That's entirely their choice. It's about helping them to put in place strategies and mechanisms that help them to stay safe in that environment as well. So there will be no judgment, there will only be support. Please reach out if you're in that situation.
Now, my mum said recently, she was listening to the news, I know sometimes you shouldn't always believe it, but she said she was really horrified at the amount of money we have to spend within, you know, the adult social care situation, and she couldn't believe the amount of money. And, you know, talking to you on a regular basis, have a bit more of an understanding. And yes, it is needed.
Absolutely.
But is there enough money? Is there enough support?
No, and I'm really fortunate. The Isle of Wight Council has protected adult social care in terms of its funding for many years. 60% of the council's budget goes on supporting vulnerable people in our communities through adult social care. That's a massive amount. It's not disproportionate with the percentage shares in other local authorities, but the budget that my team receive every year is around £75 million. Huge amounts of money. Nowhere near enough. We know locally that our population is ageing. More people are needing care and support, and more people can't afford to pay for it themselves. And that's the space that the local authority occupies. That's where you need the council, and it's our job to be there for you. So no, the money will never be enough with the increasing need that we're seeing in the communities. But the other side of that is the complexity of that need. Before, people used to get old and they pass away. Now, through the absolute leaps and bounds we've made in medical procedures and in technology, people live longer. Mm. And they live longer with health conditions that previously they wouldn't have had. That means that there's a complexity to their care that we've not seen before. So our care workers are no longer people just visiting to help people get a cup of tea or to have their lunch or to have a shower. They're quasi-medical staff. They're doing really important work in our community that changes people's lives on a day-to-day basis. So the cost of that goes up, as it absolutely must.
So what can we do? You know, you're sorting out one end.
Trying.
How can we fix the other end? Stop these things, you know, the numbers being so high. What can
good
we do?
Good life choices, I think, is the key message. My public health colleagues tell me over and over and over again, healthier people need less adult social care support as they get older. And it's absolutely true. Stay active. Think about your diet. Make good life choices are really, really important things you can do. Seek medical help when you need it. Don't delay it, because delaying it means that the help you could have possibly had is beyond a point where you can access it. So make sure you're linking in regularly. And I know that with that comes its own frustrations at the moment. Our medical system, our GP surgeries, our hospital are all under really, really significant pressure. We need to be patient. They're experiencing the same challenges as my adult social care team are experiencing. There's not enough staff to do the job that we need them to do.
So how do we fix that as well? Because it's all like you're waiting for all the peeps to come out one end.
Yep.
And the issues are the other end. And if we're not doing anything, the problems are just going to get worse. You're going to need more money. There's more people that are going to need the finances and so on. So it just seems to make your job a little bit harder. So what do we do?
Prevention piece is going to be absolutely key. And nationally, there's been a real underinvestment in prevention for many, many years due to many, many different governments and many, many different policy decisions. But it's about rebuilding what we probably as a country had 50 or 60 years ago, that stiff upper lip, but also that real resilience in ourselves to support ourselves to live as independently as possible. Adult social care will always be there for people who need it. That's my job. That's what I'm here to do. The fewer people who need it, the better job I can do for the people who do. The money pot will remain the same size. I just have to stretch it to meet a higher level of need, if that's the situation. So take advice from people. Try and live a healthy life. Get out and think about your mental health. Think about your physical health. Think about getting help from your GP if you need help from your GP in a timely way, because all of that will stop you becoming an adult social care statistic in the longer run, or certainly lead to you needing me far later in your life.
When was the last time you actually saw something on the telly that just said what you said and advising people in a nice kind of gentle kind of way and giving them some enthusiasm about, hey, look, I need to look after myself, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to, how I'm going to do it. When was the last time you saw anything on the telly,
newspaper? For me, it's a bit like that Stop, Look and Listen campaign that was on telly when I was a kid for road safety crossings. And it almost feels to me as though that's what we need in the health and social care space at the moment. Something we can all get behind and understand, but something that helps us to be equally as accountable for our own well-being as we expect our medical professionals and adult social care to be.
Yeah, we all play a part in this.
Definitely.
And we can all help. I mean, and I know that, you know, if you're the one that is struggling through all of this, then, you know, we can do our bit to make sure that we're not soaking up some of the funds, because if we can help ourselves a little bit, there'll be more help for you. You know, the people that really, really do need it. So, you know, we all play a part, but I just want people to bang that drum and come out and say those things rather than tell me, look, you need a bottle of whiskey, you need this and all the other nonsense that goes with it. No, we don't. Look, tell me how I live my life healthily. Maybe media play a massive part in all of this, but it does come down to people making life choices.
And it comes down to us as local authorities and our health partners making those choices easier. I'm a big believer in the fact that when times get tough, we do what's easiest rather than necessarily what's right. Mm. We're programmed that way. When you're in a really big rush, you just do the quickest thing so that that job's done and you're gone. We need to make those better choices easier choices for people and make accessibility to the services that people need easier as well.
Makes sense to me. Now look, you've got a big long list and I don't know how much you've actually covered.
I think I've covered most of my list. The only other thing I wanted to remind people of, and I'd be remiss if I didn't, is considering the pressure on our health system at the moment, it's really important that people are thinking about getting the right advice and support in the right place. We know our emergency department has been under an awful lot of strain over the last month or so, and that's people who do need to be there, who are genuinely poorly, who need the hospital's help. We're not saying stay away. What the message is make sure you're getting the support in the right place. Don't go to A&E on a Saturday just because you're going to have to wait to see a doctor till Monday. Make sure you talk to your pharmacist if you've got a cold, rather than booking in up at St Mary's and waiting 4 hours to see somebody.
Yeah.
Right place, right time is really important, because that enables the people who need those services to get access to them properly.
Yeah, definitely. I've got so many other things I want to ask you about. I know we touched on a conversation that we out there, and you're going to come in and talk about it in the new year. Do you want to just sort of set that up?
Yeah, of course. So dementia is probably one of the parts of my job I'm most passionate about. As a human being, both of my mother's parents had dementia, and that impacted on our life as a family, watching and living that experience with them. We're really lucky on the island to have some great dementia services. The Alzheimer's Cafe Isle of Wight do brilliant things for people all over the island, as does our Dementia Awareness Partnership. We've been working with them really closely over the last few years to launch a new dementia strategy. And as part of that strategy, we're looking at what we can do to better support people in the community. We're exploring at the moment the development of a new dementia hub, and I'm hoping that I can ask one of that team to come in with me next time to talk to you all about that dementia hub and the strategy and the support that's available for people with dementia and for their families.
Do you know, it's such a subject that, you know, I never really paid much attention to a few years back. But now when you do a little bit of research, you listen to the stories and you see things on the TV, you listen, you know, you read and so on, and you think, yeah, okay, it's much bigger than it was 5 years ago.
Absolutely. And it's also not just an older person's illness.
Mm.
We see dementia diagnosis in people in their 40s, their 50s, their early 60s. Different types of dementia impact on different people, but the outcome for those people is invariably the same, and we need to do the best we can to support them. On the island, we've seen an increase in the number of people with dementia diagnosis. That increase is projected to continue over the next 8 to 10 years, and the impact of that for my adult social care team will be significant, but more significant for those individuals and their families. So it's a space where we've really got to get that care and support right. That advice and information and guidance for people needs to be top notch, and that's what we're hoping to deliver through our new dementia hub.
I'd be lovely to meet Maggie, and
absolutely,
it'll be really good to be able to talk to people that are actually going through it. You know, I don't know too much about it, but some days they can remember, some days they can't. Yeah. That would be great to be able to talk to somebody and what it's really, really like. And also some of the people that are having to, you know, be carers and helpers and so on, to get their take on it, because it will make people more aware. And I think there's that. I've got this old saying, there's two lots of people in the world, them's that's aware and them's that ain't. And I think the only way we can make people aware is if we talk about it.
Absolutely.
And it's not like, you know, I don't know anybody that is, you know, that has dementia.
Bet you do.
Very possibly, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's but I don't have any experience of it yet, but I'd like to. So yeah. So you a bit more understanding and so on. As I told you out there, there was a young man that came in. He was talking about autism. I now have a much better understanding of autism because we have had a conversation. And we, did you find that we don't talk about these things? We like to block it out.
And I think people are genuinely worried about sharing their life stories because they're frightened that they'll be judged or that there's a stigma attached to some of these things. And breaking down those boundaries is so important. That's where the media has got a really strong role to play, helping us be more open to sharing our stories, helping us want to tell people what our own experiences are like so we can learn from each other.
I watched a kid tell a poem, talk about his poem, and I watched the reaction. And, you know, that's just one thing.
Yeah.
That's just one group of kids. There was a huge reaction in the room. And you just look at these things, if we're talking about them and we understand them, what I would imagine there is too much of is people thinking, it'll never happen to me, or when it does, I'll worry about it then.
Yep.
Well, maybe, you know, not worry about it, talk about it and be ready, just in case it might be you or someone else around you. Don't go in blind.
It's about planning for it, isn't it? With the best will in the world, we all will get the absolute privilege of getting old. And it is an absolute privilege. For so many people, that privilege never comes. But when I get old, I want to make sure that I can live the life that I choose. I want to know that my home can continue to be my home if that's what I want, that my friends can continue to be my friends, and I want to do everything within my power to make that happen. When I buy a car, I think about it really logically. Is this going to serve the purpose I need to in the future? When we buy a house, we rarely think about that. We can do so much with our local environment, with our own choices, to help our ageing process be easier. That's the space we need to be in. And we need to not be afraid of having those difficult conversations, of talking to our family about our funeral plans. I want what I want. I don't want somebody else's choices for me in the future.
No, good for you. Hey, look, I'm looking forward to having these conversations in the new year. Let's just recap. If you're listening today and you're worried about being cold and unhealthy and so on, there is a website that you can go to.
Absolutely. That's the council's website, www.iwhite.com, or you can contact the Living Well Service on 01983 240732.
And also, equally, we're in 16 days of...
We're in the 16 days of action campaign around domestic abuse, and Paragon are our local commission service providing support, and their number is 0800 234 6266. Please pick up the phone if you need help.
Definitely. If you need to, just honestly, just go and do it. Just,
absolutely.
You don't have to do it when other people are around. Wait until you've got a quiet moment, but do it. It will take... That's the first step you take to fixing your life.
Definitely.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me again.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and congratulations on becoming the interim manager anymore. And good luck for 2023. Have a lovely Christmas, and thank you for what you do.
No worries. Absolutely here to help. That's the most important thing.
Thank you. Laura Godian, MBE, OBE, Ladyship, and all the rest of it that needs
none
to go
of those.
With it.